Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score, home of Mullion Hall, Chicago's sports morning show, 5 to 9 a.m., live from the Hyundai Studios. We are WSER and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, a radio.com sports station. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
One last heave. Simons can't get it to go, and it's the Lakers by 20. LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and the Los Angeles Lakers now up 3-1 in this best-of-seven series. History is on their side. Only one loss. That was back at 06 to Phoenix. And back to the drawing board for the Portland Trailblazers after a disappointing loss here tonight. You wonder if all of that intensity here in the bubble just to make these playoffs is catching up with Portland.
It's been an honor to just put on the Laker uniform even before the passing of the great Kobe Bryant. And tonight was another one of those moments for myself, for this organization, for all the players that was able to wear those uniforms that he that was inspired by him and his mind and his creativity. So to go out there and one day removed from his birthday and then his day of 824 to be able to have a game on this day, stars aligned. I did notice that we were up 24-8 because I'm always trying to figure out what's going on throughout the course of the game. I'm always looking if we're up, if we're down, what's the team fouls and all of that nature. And when I looked up there and seen 24-8, I was like, okay, this is, he's here in the building.
The TNT call of the Lakers over the Blazers and LeBron James talking about what it meant to honor Kobe Bryant yesterday. He had the Bryant shirt on in warmups, and his team reasserting its dominance over a Portland Trailblazer squad that now may be without the services of Damian Lillard after he suffered a knee injury and was going to have a second MRI today after the first was inconclusive. Here to talk NBA with us is Keith Smith, NBA columnist at Yahoo, who is on Twitter at KeithSmithNBA. He's on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Hello again, Keith. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me back.
Of course. Why is the NBA able, without any fans there, to keep the level of basketball, the quality of play that we've seen, the drama that we've seen, the star turns that we've seen, more so than perhaps some other sports that haven't quite been themselves? We had even some hockey players talking about how it didn't quite feel like playoff hockey. Baseball players saying it's different. For some reason, the NBA is really getting after it like they would in front of 25,000 people.
I think there's a couple reasons. First is I think NBA players are, not that other athletes aren't extremely competitive, but NBA players, they get after it. You can go into these gyms in the middle of a normal summer in Los Angeles or Las Vegas or in Orlando or Miami where guys are just working out and they're going at each other. They want to win. They want to prove that they're the best, and it's a huge part of it. The other piece is because they have so many, basketball can, it's a team game that can come down to a lot of times individual play that allows those individuals to shine. And when you've got guys like LeBron James, Luka Doncic, go down the list, it allows for that drama to build because those guys lift and carry their team so much.
Teams getting knocked out as we speak. Indiana now headed home. The 76ers not only get knocked out, but it looks like they're blowing some things up here, trying to figure out what they're doing. Is, in your world, if you're Arturis Karnišovas, are you interviewing Brett Brown, and how responsible is he for the Sixers' underachievement?
I would certainly give him an interview. I think Brett Brown went through more as a head coach in his time at Philadelphia than maybe any coach has ever gone through. He was able to, or initially started, I should say, with teams that were designed to be terrible and be bad, and was pretty much, hey, we gave you a long-term contract, just see this through with us. Then as the patience level to continue to do that went away, it was, all right, it's winning time. And then just as he got that team improved and they got good, it turned into, all right, we're going to change up your roster. Then we're going to change it again. Oh, hey, and we're going to change it again. They changed their roster basically three times in an 18-month period around. It was really Simmons and Embiid were the only two constants, and they challenged him with, hey, just figure it out on the fly. And that's not something that you can do real easily as a coach. So I think Brett Brown, what he was able to do is a pretty good accomplishment. Yes, he didn't get them to the highest of heights that they wanted to be at, but a lot of that was roster construction.
Is Brett Brown, does he fit what Karnišovas says he wants in a coach, a builder of player relationships, a culture setter, but a player first guy?
Yeah, he does, but unfortunately, almost maybe a little too much. That was one of the major criticisms, is that he didn't hold Simmons and Embiid as accountable as you would like. Now, on the flip side, I always say it's easy to say that with a coach, but people like to shout and scream about, if Simmons won't shoot, he should bench him. If Embiid won't come in shape, he should bench him. And my challenge with those things is, yeah, until you lose a game and everybody screams about that loss and they want the coach fired. This isn't Bitty League or CYO ball where you just bench kids, because you don't like what they're doing and you deal with mom and dad yelling at you. This is real stakes, and ultimately coaches get let go if they don't handle things correctly.
Everybody is, we're still reeling from the Luka Doncic performance. I mean, just really one for the ages, a spectacular, historic individual playoff effort of 43 points, 17 rebounds, 13 assists, and then the game winner on a play that he just seemed to have everyone on a string as he maneuvered his way into that shot. Now they're without Kristaps Porzingis with a bruised left heel, likely for game 5 against the Clippers, and the Clippers have all their own drama going on. Not the least of which is Paul George just not being able to affect any gravity on this series. What's going on?
Yeah, on the Maverick side, they're definitely without Kristaps Porzingis. They just announced just before we started talking that he is out for tonight's game. So that's going to be tough for them. And then, Luka, I think maybe our dog is just recovering from the scream I let out as he made that shot. It was just crazy. My favorite thing with him is his personal pace. He just does things at his speed and makes sure he's going to get to where he needs to be to make the best play. On the Clippers side, I don't know what's going on with Paul George. He's kind of been this guy a lot in his career where he can be, absolutely phenomenal and be a monster and deliver big moments. And then there's other moments where he goes completely missing and you don't kind of know what to expect out of him. So I would like to think Doc Rivers with a veteran group that they'll be able to get him going and they'll be able to do some stuff, but we're going to have to see it on the court. Tonight's going to be a pretty big game, because if the Clippers can't win tonight with Porzingis out again, they'll be down 3-2 in the series, and you really have to start to think, I don't know if they're going to pull this one off.
The Milwaukee Bucks were tested early when Orlando beat them. I'm thinking, what the hell is going on? But all of a sudden, I think Budenholzer was able to have some willing ears when he exhorted them to just play better defense. That's one thing you can do with effort, and they have. And I think that was the proverbial wake-up call that sometimes can be served when you have the difference in quality between these teams.
It is. My worry for the Bucks is they are still not playing the way we have come to expect them to play, and that is concerning, because as you look at Milwaukee, they should be destroying this Orlando team. These games shouldn't even be close. Not only are they better than Orlando, Orlando's not even at full strength. They're missing several key players that, you know, would be able to help them, and they're still not able to put them away. And I think one of the things is we're seeing one of the fundamental flaws with Mike Budenholzer and this Bucks group is they build a fantastic regular season system, especially defensively. But when you get into the playoffs and teams can prep for you and start to prepare to see you because they know they're going to play you somewhere between 4 and 7 games, if Mike Budenholzer can't adjust or doesn't have something else to go to, it's a major, major challenge. And that goes all the way back to his Hawks teams. Now, they're going to play a better team in the second round in Miami, and they're going to have to be able and ready to do something a little bit different because the Heat will take all the same shots the Magic are taking, but they're going to make a heck of a lot more of them.
I've been enjoying the Nuggets and the Jazz because it's some of these games have reminded me of like classic 1980s high scoring NBA games with two guys just going at it like prize fighters back and forth and knowing what's coming, knowing they can't stop it. Donovan Mitchell can drive to his right. He can keep his dribble and they can keep trying to send guys at him. He gets to the basket. Meanwhile, Jamal Murray, especially in the two man game with Jokic, it's a matter of pick your poison. And I love high-level basketball like this when people know what's coming, but we're watching stars still effectively do what they do.
Yeah, it is. You said it. It's stars doing what they do. Both of those teams execute offensively at such a higher level than most other teams do. The challenge is Utah seems to dig down and be able to get a stop on occasion, which Denver just seems completely incapable of pulling off. They went in this last game to basically saying, you know what? We're just going to lean into it. We're going to go all offense for the most part. We're going to try to outscore Utah, and hopefully it works, and it didn't. And I don't know what triggers you can pull. They're down 3-1 in the series now, and that's a problem because this is a series Denver was expected to win. It's a series they probably should have won, and now you're looking at a team in Utah that was really kind of, you know, banged up, injured. They were missing a lot of guys that are key players for them. And I don't know that they're going to be able to come back and pull this off. And that could start to mean big changes for the Nuggets coming next year.
When did Jordan Clarkson get good?
I'm not sure Jordan Clarkson necessarily is good. It's, you know, Jordan Clarkson is a guy who very much has a lot of confidence. We should all have the confidence in things we do in life that Jordan Clarkson has on the basketball court. You know, because he is, he believes he's, you know, an all-star level guy, and he believes, you know, give me the ball, I'm going to make plays happen. But the challenge is every once in a while, Jordan Clarkson will win you a game, but a lot more once in a while, he's going to lose you one.
And what do you see in the Rockets and the Thunder in that series that's gone back and forth? Dennis Schroeder with a big game. You know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a thing. There have been any number of individual players shining in that series. But the tactical battle between Billy Donovan and Mike D'Antoni has been fun, too, with occasionally going to these packed-in zones, almost daring them to shoot over it, and watching them go back and forth with some of that stuff has been fun to somebody who enjoys it.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the kind of what you expect out of a playoff series. Houston really had OKC off kilter in those first couple games because what they were doing was they'll switch everything. They'll switch any player on any player without any worry or concern at any time. That's part of what comes with playing every guy is about roughly the same size in their starting five. So what they will do is they really challenged OKC. Hey, we're just going to switch it. You can't get into the mismatches you want to find because we're just going to keep moving it around and we're going to do these things. And then what they did along the back line, it almost looks like a pseudo zone that the Rockets play. But what they're really doing is they're just switching as OKC is running their off-ball actions. So the Thunder, what they did was they went to more standard pick-and-roll actions instead of running a lot of stuff off-ball, which they love to try to get Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on the move or Danilo Gallinari touches down on the block. They went to a lot more standard pick and roll. They went to get Gallinari at the five. So now it's up to the Rockets to come back with an adjustment and try and do something a little bit different. This is where playoff series get really fun because each team is mixing and matching as they go.
Are you seeing anything from any of these other seeds, any of these top of the list favorites that convinces you we could have an unlikely champion?
Yeah, I am, because I think shot making has been so huge in the bubble. I think you know, I was big time that it was going to be the Bucks and the Clippers with the Lakers right there. But now I think Boston could be there. I think Toronto could be there. I think even, you know, a team like Houston could make it. I think they could upset. I think it's just going to really, I know it sounds so stupid, but basketball can be such a simple game. It can come down to who makes more shots. And I think that is going to be really, really important as we go. And all those teams I just mentioned, they have the ability to make a whole bunch of shots and really do some things offensively that can be tough to stop.
The shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha has been covered here locally, with Kenosha almost being sort of a shared exurb of both Milwaukee and Chicago, despite the fact that it's in Wisconsin. And it almost seemed last night like NBA players not only wanted to take it seriously, but hearing them say that it was more important to them to talk about yet another frightening, stomach-turning case of violence and injustice than it was the results of NBA playoff games. So it does appear that they're being true to their word that they expressed even before they went down to the bubble about how strongly they wanted to keep the spotlight, to keep shining sunlight on into some of these dark places, and they're backing it up.
Yeah, they are, and that was part of this restart. Was there was all the health issues, there was the basketball issues, but a big part was the social justice and the ability for players to continue to work and speak and talk about causes that matter to them. And what you're seeing now is you're seeing NBA players kind of, you know, really back that up with the support of the NBA to say, hey, we're going to keep talking about this, and we're going to keep pushing, and we're going to keep making sure this stays top of mind for people and really, you know, is a, you know, front of mind for people, because this is, you know, I don't know any other way to explain it, but this is ridiculous that this continues to happen in our country with no slowing down, seemingly no repercussions at times. It is out of control, and I don't blame these players for using their platform to speak up and bring attention to something that is, you know, really, you know, it's just a black mark on our country's history and, you know, where we are right now. It's 2020. We should not still be doing these kind of things and in this place in the United States of America.
Well said. Keith Smith of Yahoo is our guest on Sports Radio 670. Last thing for you, because of your history as a Disney employee, have been on top of the idea of this kind of bubble from the moment it was first floated. And it is working. And for the most part, they are accomplishing exactly what they wanted to do, even as the numbers were spiking in Orlando. They stayed with it and they believed in it, and they still have people following the recommendations. We're hearing that the larger college basketball conferences and the NCAA are already learning some lessons from this and trying to figure out what they can do to have conference tournaments and or an NCAA tournament. What are you hearing about any of those conversations about best practices and trying to adopt the NBA's work as an example?
Yeah, there's definitely going to be some best practice sharing, because it looks like the way to pull any of this off is in a bubble type environment. There's also Disney may be involved because of the three gyms, because of the hotel availability, that you don't even need to provide the highest tier hotels necessarily for the NCAA, because that's not necessarily what these kids are staying in when they're at the NCAA tournament. So you could go into a lower tier of Disney resort. So I think Disney is going to be involved. I think the NCAA is really fully focused and realizing if we want to do this, we need to be able to, you know, put guys in a position where they can be safe in some sort of bubble. So I would not be surprised if that's the direction we see college basketball going next year.
Keith Smith, we always appreciate your time. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Y'all stay safe, you and yours.
That is wide-ranging NBA knowledge being dropped by Keith Smith of Yahoo Sports.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.